Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
I'm glad all of y'all are here tonight. I wish the whole church would listen to this, because I have a word of prophecy for the next season that the church is coming into. And I don't know how long. This may not even be very long. But I got the wrong mic stand, too. I don't like this one. It's fine. Okay, never mind. It's okay. I have, my main ministry gift is that of a prophet, and I fought with God for so long about this, because it's weird, okay? It's just weird, okay? That's all I have to say. I can't tell you anything else. It's a weird gift. It's uncomfortable for me most of the time, okay? It's uncomfortable, but this is what God has called me to, and after a word from Pastor Kirby last summer, I finally just gave over to it and said, okay, God, if this is what you have for me, if this is what you want me to do, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to stop fighting you on it. So I hope that you will receive this word tonight. What the Lord told me is that you are here for such a time as this. You individually are here for such a time as this. It is not by accident that you are here. It is not fate. We are God's people. We don't believe in fate. We believe in a divine God that sets things in order, right? We were born, you were born for this time and this season. You know, people say, oh, you know, I feel like I should have been born in the 30s. Well, you weren't. Because God wanted you here at this time in this season. Not only that, He wanted you in Auburn, Washington at Faith and Victory Church. Because the Bible says that God sets the members, each one of them, in the body as He pleases. This is 1 Corinthians 12:18. God sets the members in the body as He pleases. So we think it's our own choice. Well, I like this church, I'm going to go here. When God says, no, I've placed you there for a reason and for a purpose for this time and this season. Amen? Now, in Acts 17:24-26, I'm going to read this to you. It says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with His hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though He needs anything, seeing He gives to all life and breath and all things. And He has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Now, this word time refers... Thank you, brother. This time that God is speaking of refers to a specific point in history. It is the Greek word kairos. Okay? It's a specific point in time, a God time in history. It is used of special times and seasons that God has appointed. Okay, it's contrasted with the other word for time, which is chronos, which is chronological time. But this time specifically is a specific God-appointed time. You need to know that, because this is for you. You are here for this time. It's a specific God-appointed time. Does that make sense? Not just any time, this God-appointed time, you are here. This God-appointed season, you are here. Amen? So during this time and this season, there's a few things that God is doing. The first one is that we are entering a season of promotion. Okay? where God is strategically placing his people in positions of power and influence. Because God places his people where he wants him, where he wants them. Okay? It's a season of expectation. Expectation. We need to expect great and mighty things this season. Expect. And the last one is that this time is for the faithful of God. Amen? God's faithful. Okay? So the first thing I want to talk about is this season of promotion, because there's two definitions of promotion. The first definition of promotion is a furtherance or encouragement. Because, you know, when I say promotion, everybody thinks, oh, I'm going to get promoted at work, I'm going to get more money. No. The first definition of promotion is a furtherance or encouragement. This is seen in Proverbs 12:18. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Right? If you imagine, if you will, one who promotes the gospel. Right? Does that make sense? God is placing his people in positions to promote the gospel. He is putting us where we will be used the most according to our gifts and talents. Imagine, if you will, right now, a chessboard. Does anybody like to play chess? I like to play chess. I like to play chess because it's strategic, right? You know, it takes time, you know, moving the things. That's what I see God doing in his kingdom right now. He's moving pieces around, okay? Strategically placing people in positions to promote the gospel. This is not a time to sit down on the job. It's not that time, okay? God said, we need to get ready. We need to be at the ready. Right? We need to be ready. Like, literally, we're in the horse. You know, if you ever watch horse racing, man, those horses, once they get in there, they're sitting there and they're bouncing around. They're waiting for that gate to open. That's where God wants us, at the ready. Just sitting there, just waiting for that gate to open so you can run. Okay? God is calling us in this season to go forth in his might and in his power. This is also a time, because the time is short, when God will say, you need to shake the dust off your feet and move on. Okay? You have to really pay attention to the Holy Spirit, because God is doing great things and he's trying to reach all people. And at one point, God is saying, you're going to have to shake off the dust and move on. If they're not going to receive it, I've got more for you to do. So you got to be in tune with the Holy Spirit, listening to the Holy Spirit of what he's doing at that time. And we have to be willing to say, I got to move on. I got more work to do. Not of our own admission, but listening to God on this, okay? You need to listen intently to the Holy Spirit. Now more than ever, it's the time to obey God's Spirit. Okay? Now more than ever, folks, it is the time to obey God's Spirit. A couple years ago, I had a word for this young lady, and I said, you need to go to New Zealand. And my husband remembers this because he looked at me like I was crazy. In fact, it was Pastor Ong's daughter. And Pastor Ong and Sister Connie both looked at me like I was crazy. But she began crying and weeping. And Connie goes, does that mean something to you? And she's like, yeah, it does. And I said, and you're going to meet your husband in New Zealand. And she went back and she prayed about it. She broke up with her boyfriend and moved to New Zealand, met her husband, and now they're back here serving God together, and they have two kids. You have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit, though, what he's doing, because she could have missed that. Because a couple years ago, I gave another word to a young girl. She came up to me, and she was 16, and I said, and I began praying for her, and I said, the Lord said there's someone in your life that you need to get rid of. They're not good for you. Get them out. Turn away. get this relationship out of your life. And she looked at me and she's crying because she knew. This is the thing about the Holy Spirit, folks. When God brings something to you, you're going to know it already in your spirit. You will know it in your spirit. And she knew it in her spirit, but she didn't listen to me. And she continued in that relationship and she got pregnant and now she's not even serving God. We have to listen to the Holy Spirit, folks. This is that time. This is that time. We need to be just on the ready in the Word of God, listening to the Holy Spirit and obeying when He says to do something. Because it's imperative. Okay? It's imperative that we do that this time. You do not want to miss out on what God is doing during this time. You don't want to miss out on it, okay? Another thing He said is stay on your path. Stay on your path. What do I mean by that? Not my path. Your path. Because God has a unique path for each and every one of us. And if we begin to look at someone else, I'm like, well, I want to do what Pastor Shelley's doing. I like her gifts. I don't like my gifts. I want to do that. God says, no. Stay on your path. Because your path leads to the destiny God has for you. God has a unique plan and path for you, but you got to stay on your path. We can't get sidetracked looking at somebody else, what somebody else is doing, and say, well, I like what they do. I like what they're doing, or I like how they're doing that. I like their gifts more than my own, right? We got to stay on our own path, okay? God said, stay on your path. I got a perfect path for you. Got a perfect plan. Don't get sidetracked by someone else and get off on their path. Because it's not going to produce the same results. We got to stay on our path. Now, the next definition of promotion is advancement in rank or position. Okay, that is that advancement in rank or position. This is seen in Daniel 2:48, where it says, then the king promoted Daniel, and he gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon, right? We see Daniel, that he was promoted to this great level above in Babylon, right? For his faithfulness. God is promoting people to high-ranking positions of influence as well. Okay? Because he says, we need godly, influential leaders at this time. There's a shift in power and wealth from the godless world into the hands of godly men and women to increase God's kingdom. It's coming. But if we're not at the ready, if we're not on our path, we can miss it. Okay? So it's not just a position of promoting the gospel. It's positioning you in promotion of rank in order for influence. Okay? The great apostasy has already begun. What is that? That is the great falling away from the faith. It's already begun, folks. That's what that word apostasy means, falling away. It means that people were once in the faith are not in the faith anymore. That's what that means. And it's already started, and it's going to continue to happen. But we can't look at that because God says there's also a great awakening taking place. There's a great awakening taking place. So don't focus on that falling away, because it's happening and it's going to continue to happen. We got to focus on that awakening that's taking place. There's a great awakening taking place. God is waking up His people. The church will see more signs, miracles, and wonders than at any other time in church history. It will. And I know this because God told me, but also there's other people that has spoke to me this same thing. And I was like, that is from the Lord. That is from the Lord. That is that great awakening. There's awakening, man. It's like, you know, if you would imagine the Azusa Street revival again, but on a larger scale. On a larger scale. There's going to be more salvations. There's going to be just a huge outpouring coming. Okay, so we need to stay focused on that, not what else is going on, because we can get sidetracked. Okay, we need to be ready for promotion. ready to move when he says move, ready to go when he says go. This is of God. We need to be at that ready, okay? Folks, I just say, nothing else matters right now. This is what matters. Don't quit your jobs, okay? Please. I'm going to go quit my job. No, don't quit your jobs because God's going to use you where you're at. And if he doesn't want you there, he'll move you and promote you someplace else. Okay, so wait on God. Don't just go and do your own thing. Wait on God. But God is doing this, right? Psalm 75, 5 through 7 says, do not lift up your aggressive horn on high. Do not speak with a stiff neck and insolent arrogance. For not from the east or from the west or from the south comes promotion and lifting up, but God is the judge. He puts down one and lifts up another. It is God doing this. God is the one bringing promotion. That's why I said there's a shift in the church, okay? He's promoting his people while putting down God, the world. Okay? Now the next thing is that we need to expect good things. We need to be living and praying with an expectancy that he's going to move mightily and in a big way on our behalf. We need to expect it. And this way said, think about a pregnant woman, right? When a woman is pregnant, she expects to have a baby in about 9 months. I don't know any woman that when she's pregnant doesn't expect that there's a baby in there that's coming out in about 9 months. It's not a watermelon. It's not an alien. It's a human baby, right? Every woman in here knows what I'm talking about. When you're pregnant, you expect that at about 9 months, you're going to have a baby. And you start preparing for that baby. I don't know any woman that doesn't do that. This is the way God says we need to pray, with an expectancy of, it's coming. Not a hope-so hope, but a I know so. I know this is coming. Expect it. James 1, 5 through 8 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, not doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is double-minded. Folks, this is where that faith rises up and expects that when we're praying, it's going to happen. The only thing that is doubtful is the timing. God has his own timing in things. But we need to expect that it's going to happen, okay? I like Acts 3, 4 through 6 says, and fixing his eyes on him with John and Peter, they looked at this man, and it was the man that was sitting by the gate beautiful, right? That was the lame man. And Peter says, look at us. So he gave them his intention, expecting to receive something from them. That's faith. They said, Peter says, look on us. And the guy just looks up and says, okay, what are you giving me? And he got a healing. He was expecting money, but he got healing, right? That expectancy where God says, look up, right? Look up, expect it. God wants our faith to be at that level where we know that he will move on our behalf, especially when it pertains to his will. Right, and this is why I have to add this in here, is that James 4, 1 through 3, where do wars and fights come among you? Do they not come from your desire for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain, you fight in war, but you do not have because you do not ask. But when you ask, you don't receive because you ask it amiss for your own pleasure. So we can't expect that we're going to get things if we're asking for our own pleasure, but when we're asking according to his will. And what is his will? His word. His word is His will. You want to know God's will? Get in His word. And you will find out His will. So when we pray for our family members for salvation, you don't have to pray, God, if it's your will. You say, God, it's your will. In Jesus' name, they're going to come to you. And pray it with authority and expectation that it's going to happen. That's God's will. It's God's will that we advance His kingdom. It's God's will that we proclaim the gospel. These things are God's will. And so pray it with authority and expectation that it's going to come to pass. It's God's will for marriages to be healed. So you can pray for your marriage, not if it's God's will. You can say, God, it is your will. This will be healed in Jesus' name, and I'm expecting it. Amen? This is the faith that God wants us to have at this time, folks. That faith that moves mountains. We need to expect good things, not evil. Now, if you're anything like me, most of my life, I expected bad things to happen. And it's just because of my past, you know, my past and who I was. And so I always thought negatively about myself and about my situation. So obviously, I just expected bad things. I mean, I would even be driving down the road and see myself driving off, you know, and send my kids to school and imagine, you know, someone killing them at school. And, you know, these negative thoughts all the time. And God told me, He's like, we need to change our thinking. We need to expect good things from God, not because we're good, because He's good. We need to expect good things to come out of bad circumstances. No matter what happens, what circumstance we're in, God wants us to expect good things to happen. He wants our thinking to change in spite of our circumstances. As a man thinks in his heart, so he becomes. You continue to think negatively, we stay in this negative mindset. Right? God wants us to expect good things. I like what King David said, Psalm 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Goodness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Matthew 7:11, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? We need to expect good things. And even in the midst of a bad situation, in bad circumstances, we need to expect a good outcome. Because He's a good God. And the Lord spoke to me. The church has been thinking negatively and expecting evil. We need to expect good. Expect good in our lives. Expect good things to happen. Expect that He has a good plan for you. Not a plan of evil, a good plan. Expect that His purpose for you is good. Good. Expect that good will come out of every situation. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Somebody needs to hear that tonight. Amen? You guys got it? Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. We need to wake up every morning with an expectation of goodness. Amen? This is what the Holy Spirit said to me. As soon as my feet hit the ground, I'm expecting goodness. I'm expecting goodness in my marriage. I'm expecting goodness for my children. I'm expecting goodness in the church. I'm expecting goodness in my life. Every day, an expectation of goodness. We say it all the time, he's a good God. We say, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, but do we believe it? I see a lot of... He's a good God, and we need to expect... Folks, that is faith. That's what faith is. Now, the last part, God is promoting his faithful. Now, let me tell you the definition of faithful. True to one's word, promise, vow. Steady in allegiance or affection. Reliable, trusted, or believed. True, devoted, constant, and loyal. See, I hear a lot of this, God is faithful and I am not. That's true, God is faithful. But that whole I am not part is a cop-out. It's a time for a gut check, people. Okay? No more wishy-washy Christianity. Because we're either faithful or we're not. There's no halfway in this. There's not. There's no halfway in this. We can be faithful to God. It doesn't mean that we may not fail him or do things that displease him. We can still be faithful to him. Let me give you an example. I am faithful to my husband. Look at your spouse if you're married. Are you faithful in your marriage? You say, I'm faithful to my spouse. I'm faithful. I've been faithful to my spouse. I've been married 16 years. I have been 100% faithful to my husband. Have I failed him? Sure. Have I done things that displease him? Yeah, quite a bit. I'm sure. But I've been faithful to him. So why can't we say the same thing about God? Why can't we say the same thing about God? And I'm not standing up here bragging, because I am not the shining example of faithfulness, but I've been faithful to my God. I made a vow to him and I've kept it. I've been faithful to him. Have I done things that displease him? Sure. But I've been loyal to him. I've been faithful to him. These things that are coming, God asked us just to be faithful to him. He's not saying you have to be perfect. He's just asking for your loyalty. He's just asking you to be faithful to him. Folks, I would beat myself up time and time again because I did things that displeased God. And I would beat myself up all the time. But I know what he's spoken to me. He said, Crystal, you've been faithful. And there's faithful people here too. I know because God's told me. There's faithful people. It's possible to be faithful to him because he says it's possible to be faithful to him. I'm going to give you a bunch of scripture. Numbers 12, 6 through 8. Then he said, hear my words, God says. If there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses, for he is faithful in all my house. God said Moses was faithful. 1 Samuel 22:14. So Ahimelech answered the king, said, who among all your servants is as faithful as David? Folks, David messed up. But he was faithful to God. He was loyal. He was faithful. Matthew 22:46. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find him doing. Matthew 25:21, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many. Matthew 25:23, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many things. Luke 19:17, and he said to him, well done, good servant, because you are faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. Right? We see this over and over again. We can be faithful to him. Colossians 1:7, as you learn from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ. Colossians 4:7, Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. Faithful. Revelation 2:8-10, and to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and last who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. God rewards faithfulness. This promotion that I'm talking about, these things that God is doing, is coming for His faithful people. Because He needs to know that He can trust us during this time. Amen? Revelation 3, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says He who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. This one's bad. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. But, listen, he says, you have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. They're faithful. Even in the midst of all of that, he said, there's faithful people. Folks, we can be faithful in the midst of all of this. Amen? Like I said, it doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean that we don't mess up and do things wrong. We do. Do we not? I know I do. I mess up all the time. But I'm faithful to Him. I am. And I know people. I know people that are faithful to Him. I know lots of people that are faithful to Him. I'm not the only one. I know lots of people that are faithful to God and have been faithful their whole lives. It's possible, okay? Don't get in this mindset like it's something that's like this out of reach. Well, that's for them. No. We can all be faithful. We can. Let him take over every part of you. Okay? These things are coming, folks, and we need to be ready for it. Amen? Okay, it is 8:10. I do have a few individual words for some people. Jan and Stan. See, the Lord said, faithful, faithful, faithful. Age is no limit. You need to get ready. God's given you a new assignment. Look at that, man. God knows no age limit. Come on. Jeremy and Brittany. God said, you guys have been faithful and selfless. You guys have been so selfless. God says there's a youth explosion coming. And all the things that you've been praying for, salvation and miracles and signs, God said He's bringing, and those kids are going to be on fire. Because you guys have been faithful and selfless. Amen? Brother James back here, Ozone. God says, get ready, because He's fixing to magnify your voice. Okay? He's fixing to magnify your voice. Todd and Aubrey, where did Pastor Todd go? Okay, well, you can tell them this. God said there's a promotion coming in the technical field for you guys. Okay? Jerry, sister? She's looking at me crazy. God said, you have been at His feet, and He has seen your tears, and He's heard your prayers, and there's a reconciliation coming for your family. Does that mean anything to you? Okay, there's reconciliation coming to your family. To see you at His feet, just crying in tears, and He's seen it, and He knows. Okay. Brother Todd, the Lord said that you've been having some fear of entering into His inner court. You're kind of staying on the outer courts. You've just been staying on the outer courts and you're worshiping out there. But God says, brother, He's like, son, come on into the inner courts. I want you beside me. I want you at my feet. There's no fear. No fear, no trepidation. There's no condemnation. No condemnation. Don't stay in the outer courts, man. You're welcome to come into the holiest of holies. You come into that inner courts. Amen? Glenn, God said there's promotion coming in your school. He's going to promote your voice, and you're going to receive favor with those around you. You're going to receive favor. And Jen, sister, God said you have been so faithful. And you've been faithful in sowing, and there's a season of reaping a bountiful harvest coming. And He says your basket is going to be overflowing. Overflowing. Amen. Amen. That's all I got for tonight. I hope that you guys receive this word. It'll be online if you want to hear it again. If you want my notes, I'll be happy to give you my notes as well. And Pastor Matt, you want me to close down? All right, well, let's stand up and grab a hand. Father God, we just thank You, Lord. I thank You for this body of Christ, God. I thank You that You have placed us, God, and every single person in here that's even not here tonight, God, that You've placed us here for this time, for this reason, for this purpose, God. For this reason and for this season, Father God, let us be ready, God. Let us go forth in Your might, Father God, to do the things that You have called us to do, God, and that we're going to see and expect a harvest, God, a beautiful, beautiful harvest, Father God, and that we will expect good things, Father God. Lord, we thank You for this word, God. I pray that it takes root in us, Father, that we would go forth in Your power and Your might. Bring us back here on Sunday, Father, and we just lift these things up unto You tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.